Thank you, worship band, for leading us through that. How great our God is. That's a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about today. My name's Clay Miller. I'm one of the elders here at SIF. And thank you for coming here this morning. And Happy New Year to everyone. This is our first Sunday here in 2018. And I want to show you a little bit. So I went out there, being a new year, to see what are the most common New Year's resolutions, right? So as you look through here, I see some of you smiling. I kind of smiled at one of these two. Get in shape, that's probably the most common one. You know, for some reason, round is not a shape, you know, they consider in fitness magazines, but they want us to get in shape. And that's a good thing, you know, to be in. I found out playing basketball yesterday how out of shape I am. But, and then, you know, losing weight, enjoying life to the fullest, you know, spend less, save more, spend more time with family and friends, get organized. You know, you can read through here. And something very interesting, floss regularly. That made the list. And I know my dentist. I know that's very important to dentists. They used to always ask, did you floss? How have you been flossing? Then they just stopped asking me, right, after a few visits. But I found that very interesting. And, you know, as Christians, we can add more, you know, pray more is the typical, right, that we want to do this year. Read your Bible daily. You know, the church has a great plan, a great goal, try to read through the New Testament here. And we could spend time this morning I could sit here and go through and try to explain, you know, how could we, you know, I'm sure most of you have made resolutions and most of you have been like me, have failed to meet those resolutions, right? And as the study shows, only 9% of the people that make resolutions actually keep those by end of the year. So, you know, we could sit here and talk about how can we keep our resolutions, how can we, you know, get it up to 10 or 11%, you know, but I want to spend time this morning going through something a little different. Instead, if you go to the next slide here, we're going to talk about, we just sang about this, you know, how big is God? You know, I've been attending church for over 40 years, and not really knowing how big God really was. Now, I've seen God work throughout our family life and throughout things, you know, and I've been keeping him in this little box here, you know. When we've got an issue come up, I would go and, you know, pray to this little God in my box, you know. And I was really inspired by this one series this pastor did about how big God is. It really changed my life. As far as my viewpoint on who God is, what kind of God we serve, you know. I've got a whole new perspective now of who this God that we serve is. And I want to take time to go through this a little bit with you. We're just going to cover just a little piece of this, but I hope you're inspired by this. And now, you know, in my life, we can see things throughout our family, my wife and I, we see things. And just can't explain, you know. No person, we didn't do this, you know. It can't be explained. Only big God, you know. Sometimes he just intercedes for us, and that's all we can say is, wow, that was a big God moment right there. So I want to walk us through this. We're going to go exploring a little bit today. I know we have a lot of kids in service. Sunday school hasn't started yet, so we're going to see some pictures here and go through some things. All right, let's get started. So I asked my boys to draw a picture of the sun. So I asked half of my boys. When you got as many kids as we do, we start figuring them in fractions, right? So we got a third of the kids or half of the kids or two-thirds. You know, we got a bunch of kids. And I asked them to draw a picture. And they've been asking me all week, Dad, what are you going to do with these pictures? Why didn't we? And I didn't tell them. I didn't tell them what I was going to do with them. So I thought I'd embarrass them a little bit. Don't put it up on the screen. So one of my boys, this is his view. I asked him to draw a picture of the sun. This is his view. Okay? And we love as family vacations to go to the beach. And I kind of picture this, you know, look at the different colors, you know, kind of a warm color of the, the sun. You know, the beach is so cool. There's nothing, I don't think, more beautiful than seeing the sunset over a beach, right? And this sun, I think, had kind of a picture of the beach in mind. Okay, so we go to the next one. Okay, this sun, you know, big yellow ball. He's got a few rays going off of the sun, right? Different colors. There's little different shaped rays that he's going. So I thought that was very good as well, picture of the sun. And then the next one here. All right. This is what I call the happy lion sun. So he's very happy. You know, look at all the rays coming off of the sun here. And if you're wondering, because I love math and I'm an engineer, there's 62 rays going around this sun. Okay? I counted them. I was very impressed. It took a lot of time, I know, to draw all those. But so these are the pictures that we see of the sun, right? That's what we think here on Earth as we're sitting here on Earth. You know, what we can't even sometimes look at the sun, you know, even under with our sunglasses, you know, so bright and stuff like that. But let's look at the reality of the sun. Go to the next slide here. Here's the reality of what's going on at the sun, okay? The sun, look at it. Does it look very happy to you? Look at the fire. And even if you look at the top left picture there, you can kind of see a face. I kind of visualized the face there with two eyes and his mouth going, wow, ooh, it's hot, you know? So unlike the picture we saw before of the happy sun, you know, this is a star. The sun is actually a star found at the center of our solar system. It's around 1.4 million miles wide. Okay? And so what that is the Earth, and you've seen pictures of the Earth. The sun is about 110 times wider than what the Earth is. Over 1 million Earths can fit inside of this monster, right? And the sun's made up of about seven Earths. And scientists can't get this exact, right? They've never been up there. So they estimate about 70%, you know, the sun is made up of hydrogen. So if you can imagine, like, thousands of hydrogen bombs going off all the time, just constantly, it's just a hot mess up there, right? The surface temperature, you know, is 5,500 degrees estimate, and it's 93 million miles away from the Earth here. And I'm kind of glad, you know, it's that far away from Earth. Now, in Suzhou, in the summer, if you've been here in July and August, you may think it's about 10 miles, right, above the Earth here. But that is a hot, very hot monster up in the sky there. And if you compare that to the size of the Earth, you know, you can see a little dot there, of the picture of the Earth. And for those of you that want a little more visual, I'm from the U.S. and from Indiana, especially, so I brought a basketball. So if you can imagine the basketball, the size of the sun, okay, and I brought some food here. And I got a bun here. So this was the sun. And this is the Earth, and actually, I got sesame seeds on this bun, okay? So this little sesame seed that I got in my finger is about the size of the Earth compared to the sun, okay? So it's a monster, right? And here we are, if you can find yourself on this sesame seed sitting here on Earth, right? How small you are compared to the greatness of the size of the sun here. And let's move on and see what God has to say about that in the Bible. So in Genesis 1:3, it says, and God said, so the earth at this time, or the heavens and everything was dark. And he said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. So when he said, all he had to do is say, let there be light, and you get this monster that comes out in our solar system called the sun. You know, God didn't have to say, let there be Play-Doh, and he starts building up Play-Doh and making it bigger and bigger until he gets, okay, let there be gases, and, you know, forms all that together. All he had to do is say, let there be light, and that's what came out. This is the God we serve. He can call out light, and we get a sun like this up in the sky. So, as we think about God, you know, God's not this weak, mamsy-pamsy God out there, you know, doing things for people and stuff like that. You know, our God that we serve, he's powerful, he's mighty, he's awesome, he's a big God who can just speak, and we get things like this, like the sun. Okay? But we're not done yet. So this is just one star, right? I said this is a star. And that's the closest star to the earth here. There's another star. The next closest star is called the Alpha Centauri. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But it's 4.4 light years away. So God's measurement, right? When I build something at the house, I'm always getting out my ruler, measuring stuff. You know, I need a board cut, you know, 2 feet long or something like that. God measures in light years, okay? And how big is that? Well, a light year, if you know that light travels about 180,000 feet per second, or miles per second, the light year, we calculated out to be about 5.88 trillion miles. So one light year. So when you look at the sun, or this next star, the Alpha Centauri, how far it is, it's, you know, over 25 trillion miles out there in space. Okay, and I wanted to kind of put my mind around how far that is. And if you go to the next picture, I love cars and love looking at different cars and how cool they are, but I was curious to say, okay, how far is the longest car ever been? Or how many miles has the car driven before? Okay, this is Irvin Gordon, and he's in a 1966 Volvo here, and he's driven this car. This car has gone over 3 million miles. I was like, wow, 3 million miles. You know, I've got a truck at home sitting at 240,000 miles, and I thought that was a lot. And this guy, since 1966, he bought this new, he's been driving it, and it's gone over 3 million miles. Okay, so that's a lot of miles to me. But then you think about the next star that's out there, this Alpha Centauri. It's 4.4 light years away. So Gordon would have to drive his car 8.5 million times further to get to that next star. Okay? That's how far out there it is. Okay, let's keep going. Let's keep learning. So we think the sun is big, right? Then there's this star out there in our Milky Way galaxy called the Betelgeuse. And I don't know, they made a movie, you know, called Betelgeuse before. But it's out there in the Milky Way giant. They call it the red supergiant. You know, I thought giants were big. They had to call this one a supergiant, right? And it stretches more than 600 million miles wide, the star out there. It's over 650 light years away from the Earth. So if you're not impressed how big the sun is, then there's Betelgeuse out there. And it's 1,400 times the size of the sun. And if you look at the right picture there, and sometimes it doesn't show, it's got a picture of the sun right in the middle. So this is so big, it encompasses the sun, it encompasses Mercury around the sun, it encompasses Venus, path around the sun, it encompasses Earth, Mars, and even all the way up to Jupiter. That's how massive this thing is, sitting out there in our galaxy. So if you're not impressed with that, let's go on. Betelgeuse, there's even bigger than that. And we could show you pictures all day long of these stars that scientists and astronomers have found that are bigger, and how massive these things are. You see the sun down there in the left corner, how big we think it is. They're just monsters out there floating in space. So if we move on here, let's look. And a lot of people, a lot of the prophets and people of the Bible, they realized You know, they could look up in the, sometimes it's hard to see the sky, right? Especially around here, sometimes you look up and it's a little, you know, fuzzy up there. It's hard to realize. But let's look what the prophet Isaiah has said about this. He says in 40:26, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing." And then Psalms 147:4-5 says, "He determines the number of stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." And in Psalms 136:9, it says, "The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever." You know, only God knows. You know, scientists are always trying to build bigger and better, you know, telescopes to see what's out there. But only God knows what is truly out there in his creation. And he has named every single one of these things that are out there. And now we've been talking about stars. Let's keep going here. Let's look at this. This is the Milky Way. So this is the galaxy that we are in here. You know, it's around 100,000 light years across. And remember, a light year is 5.88 trillion miles. So this thing is massive. Now, we are not in the center of the Milky Way. We're off a little bit. You can see a picture of the sun there. But let's read Isaiah 40:22. "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers." That's you and I, right? We sit there like grasshoppers. We're a small speck on that sesame seed, right, that we saw earlier, "who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in." Now, most astronomers think that the universe is still expanding. In the 20s, they discovered that virtually all clusters of galaxies are moving apart from each other. So can you imagine God up there taking his iPad or whatever he does, you know, using two fingers usually to spread out, "Oh, let's put a few more stars in here," okay? And all this, you know, his power and might to sit there and expand the universe. We think it's big, and he's up there going, "I'm going to make it bigger. I'm going to show my might and my power and put these super giants in there." Okay, let's keep going. I found some more pictures of some cool galaxies. This is called the Pinwheel Galaxy. It's called a spiral type, you can see. Now, it's almost twice the size of the Milky Way galaxy we're in. Its distance is 21 million light years away. Now, you know, we're talking about 4.4 light years, 650. Now we're talking 21 million light years, which is, I don't even know if my calculator even knows what that is, right, distance-wise. And they estimate it has over a trillion stars sitting in this galaxy. Okay, and a lot of these galaxies, the scientists say, just keep reproducing stars, more and more stars. By the second, even, a new star will be created. And let's keep looking at these. So, you know, God loves people from China, from Europe, Australia, and he loves people from Mexico too, right? And so he created the Sombrero Galaxy out there. And if you look at the top left, you think, well, that's a real thin little galaxy. It's actually tens of millions of light years thick. It's just the picture that we can see. I think the Hubble telescope captured some of these photos, but that is sitting out there beyond our Milky Way galaxy. You look at the Antenna Galaxy there to the right, that's kind of scary looking. It looks like an alien's going to pop out of that thing. Then you look down to the left, and I thought that was a cool picture. It shows two galaxies, you know, on different planes, almost perpendicular to each other. And you would think these galaxies are like interlocking each other, but they're actually several light years apart from each other. Just the picture that captured this shows them, you know, right on top of each other. So many of these, like I say, photos have been captured by these high-powered telescopes, and their scientists and astronomers are always trying to create something bigger and better to actually see what's out there. And let's move ahead. Now we get into, okay, we talked about the stars that are out there that God created. We talked about galaxies. And now, you know, yesterday we went and saw the movie Star Wars. We love Star Wars. Now we get to galactic, you know, we start talking about this crazy stuff. But galactic group, so the scientists believe this is our local galactic group. So the Milky Way's in there. You've got all these galaxies out there. And let's look and see what Job says about this. Job 9, 8 through 10, it says, "Who alone stretched out the heavens? Who made the Bear and the Orion and the Pleiades and the Champs of the South? Who does great things beyond searching out and marvelous things beyond number?" And if you look at Hebrews 11:3, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Okay, so God created this huge universe that we can't even imagine that is out there. Okay, and why did he do this? Why did he make all this? So this morning we were worshiping, singing songs, praising to God, right? But let's look and see what Psalm says about this as well. Psalms 89:5, "Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness is the assembly, in the assembly of the holy ones." And then Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." So you can imagine God is out there, and he's created all these galaxies, all these bright stars, all these things. And they're out there to bring praise back to him, to bring his glory, for us to realize, you know, Job got it. Job, who lost everything, he understood, you know, he talked about the constellations there. He understood that God is in charge of all of that. He made all of that splendor, all of the galaxies. And there's so much out there we don't even know. And in the mid-1990s, it was thought, they did a small count, it was thought that there was around 200 billion galaxies out there. Okay, scientists and astronomers thought there's over 200 billion galaxies. But by the launch of the Hubble telescope and other these high power things, they're thinking that number is about 10 times too low. Okay, so these galaxies out there that we can't even imagine. We can't even, you know, we see these stars out there, and they're millions and millions of light years away from us. God is out there. He built it all. He created it all. And he's out there, got it all in his hands, right there, saying, "I created this." Now, I only scratched the surface, right? There's thousands of pictures I could show you. There's many things even about the human body that you would just be like in awe, you know, that God created. He made all of this. But let's move on. So as we enter 2018, and I want to read from Jeremiah 32:17. It says, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." And then, so who is with God? Who is with God when all of this universe was created? And let's look at John 1:3. "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So John's talking about Jesus through here. So our Lord and Savior, and let's read Colossians 1:15. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in all things hold together." And in him all things hold together. So Jesus, the firstborn, we sang about that, right? Christ before us, Christ behind us. He has been there all along in all of this creation. And yet, God sent his son Jesus to come down to the earth, to die for us, to forgive us of our sin, die on a cross, to forgive us of our sins, so that we can spend eternity with him for those that accept him. So, as you think about, you know, 2000 going into 2018 here, and you may have the best year of your life, and I pray and, you know, praise God if you do, but you may face trials. Well, you know, the Bible does. There's some preachers out there that says, you know, once you become a Christian, everything's going to be great. You know, my Bible says when you face trials and tribulations, knowing there's going to be some along the way, when you face trials and tribulations, just realize God that made the universe, he's got it all in his hand. And here we are, a little speck of that universe. You know, he can sit there and hold us, get us through any trial that we may come through. And so think about that. In 2018, God is there to be with us. He's an almighty God. He's powerful. He can get us through anything. And we have a son there interceding for us on our behalf. You know, we serve an awesome God, and we serve a big God. And let's just pray, and then as the music comes to close out here this morning. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your might and your power, and just how great of a God we serve. We can't comprehend. I can't even comprehend, you know, your power and your majesty and all the things that are out there in this universe, Lord. But we know you're here to help us, protect us, to guide us through our trials in 2018 here. And we just praise you for that. We pray that if anybody doesn't know you here this morning, Lord, that they come and talk to one of us and get to know you, to get to know this great God that we serve. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand up and then we'll sing one last song.
Lord of all creation, of Mother Earth and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle.